Everybody to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. Now, if this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, let me just say, you just came in on a really good episode, because the stories that I got for you today, whoo boy, they can be pretty crazy and pretty interesting. You gotta hear this stuff. And speaking of which, let me tell you what some of them are. Now, I'm going to start things off by announcing a movie based on everybody's favorite TV show. Then afterwards, we will be a little bit worried about the future of the LEGO movies, considering the performance of the LEGO Ninjago movie, both creatively and financially. Then afterwards, we will be taking a little break from animation and take a look at a scrapped idea of a Space Mountain movie. Then we will be looking into a live-action remake of an animated property that's just recently been released and it was, like, pretty big at the time. And then finally, we will end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. Now, if you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to film-book.com by searching the Animation Podcast. And you can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And before I begin, I just want to mention that it really does suck the fact that it feels like every week there seems to be a natural disaster screwing over one place to the next. I mean, we already got a huge list in itself because of the earthquakes and hurricanes from Texas to Florida to the Caribbean islands to Mexico, and now Puerto Rico is really getting screwed over. And at this point, it's becoming a place where it's uninhabitable. And it really is sad to see, and what's even worse is that the U.S. government is barely doing much, or at least some parts of it, certainly not from the fascist dictator, considering that he is acting like the common, ignorant, idiotic American, where he is only showing more care towards football than actually towards the well-being of others. That's really typical of him, and honestly, it shouldn't be that surprising. So allow me to be the better man right over here and just say to the people of Puerto Rico that honestly, they deserve nothing but the best at this point. I really do hope that all the necessities that they would need, like food, water, and being rescued, can come to them as soon as possible so that they can continue and go live a much better life, maybe even better than how they lived in Puerto Rico before. Or maybe that Puerto Rico can quickly fix itself up after that disaster so that it could be a habitable, happy place again. I really do wish the very best for the people of Puerto Rico. But anyways, now with all that said and done, let's go right ahead with our first big story right over here. And oh man, this is a crazy one that I have for you here. Now, the funny thing is that Warner Brothers actually stepped in and actually made this huge announcement regarding the release date for It 2. Now, as I am recording this right now, It is pretty much the biggest horror movie that's out today, and everybody is freaking out, both in terms of like, oh my god, this is such a good movie, and oh my god, this is so scary, regarding Pennywise. And Warner Brothers made the happy announcement that on September 2019, Pennywise will be returning to the big screen, and the kids will now become adults in the present day. So this will be a continuation of what they didn't cover in the book yet. But at the same time, though, they managed to sneak in another small announcement, as if they went on the side and after they made their big announcement about It 2, they went close to the microphone and just quickly spurted out, oh, and by the way, there's going to be a Teen Titans Go movie coming out in theaters. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, bye. And here we are today. Yes, folks, it is official. Not only is there going to be a Teen Titans Go movie, but there's going to be a Teen Titans Go movie that will be out in theaters. Now, let me go on my source here at CBR.com. As it stated, a Teen Titans Go feature film is headed to the big screen on July 27th, 2018, as announced on Monday by Warner Brothers. The animated feature is slated to debut in theaters, replaces a previously untitled animated film on Warner Brothers' schedule, formerly slated on June 1st, 2018. And that's pretty much all the information that we know about it, is the fact that we are getting a movie based on Teen Titans Go, and that it's going to be released at the end of July of 2018. But there is another piece of information that they did reveal. It's not regarding the plot, that is still remained as a secret, but it's more the factor that there is a very strong chance now that the original voice actors from the animated series are going to be reprising their roles for the feature film, because there's a lot of voice actors that I notice, including Tara Strong. They actually express such happiness and such excitement that this is going to be coming out, mainly because they actually did work on the project. So I can understand that. And technically, yeah, it would make a lot of sense having the original voice actors come back for this. And honestly, if I may speak right now regarding me and Teen Titans Go, the thing is that I have never seen an episode of Teen Titans Go, believe it or not. Considering that I specialize a lot more in animated features than animated TV shows, I didn't really have the time to watch an episode of Teen Titans Go, let alone many other animated series that are currently out there. But there are two big things that I do know well about Teen Titans Go. Number one is the fact that it really is a much-hated animated series from the animation community. Like, no matter how many times Cartoon Network would put it up onto its channel, or how many times they would place it in there, or how many episodes that they would release, you are guaranteed to find fanboys just whining and complaining on social media regarding Teen Titans Go. And number two, another thing that I know about Teen Titans Go is that there are some cartoon critics on YouTube that they would go and heavily exploit on this Teen Titans Go hate. That they would always place Teen Titans Go on either on their videos or on their thumbnails of their videos. And they would pretty much go and, like I said before, just exploit on this hate in order to get what I feel like a very cheap way of getting views and subscribers. You know, it's kind of like a cheap clickbait, in a sense, using Teen Titans Go to promote their videos, and basically using it as the poster child of bad television animation. They know very well that it is much hated, and that the fanboys who absolutely hate it, they'll eat it up no matter what. As long as it's spreading Teen Titans Go hate, they'll be happy and they'll be getting more money and more subscribers without putting much effort into it. And that's pretty much all that I know about Teen Titans Go. And let me tell you, also the thing is that the hate on Teen Titans Go itself, like just that aspect of the hate, it is ridiculously strong. I kid you not. My criticisms that I've given to Sony Animation, they are nothing compared to the hate that's been put on Teen Titans Go after all these years. It is literally insane. In fact, let me tell you firsthand on how big this hate on Teen Titans Go is. All right, just by the announcement of the Teen Titans Go movie, I have already received so many messages on social media and so many emails from people asking me, begging me, desperately demanding me that when this movie would be out in theaters, that I would treat this like I did to the Emoji Movie when I would review this. Like, immediately, people are armed and hate to pretty much give this the emoji movie treatment. I kid you not. And at this point, people are wondering about the big question about this Teen Titans Go movie. Why? Why is it that Warner Brothers would be crazy enough to go and create a movie based on Teen Titans Go, despite all the hate that it's been getting? Well, I think I could pretty much figure out why is it. You know, I might have an answer. Literally, it's for the same reasons why My Little Pony is getting a movie out in theaters. Literally the same thing. And I know I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, and people are not gonna like me for saying this, but the thing is, when it comes to Teen Titans Go, it is more successful than the original 2003 series. I know people don't like to hear that, but honestly, it's the truth. Because the thing is, despite all the crap that it's been getting from angry fanboys, it's still going strong on Cartoon Network. There is a reason why Cartoon Network would be putting it up all the time on its channel on a weekly basis, is because it's working. It's getting a lot of good ratings for them. And not only that, the thing is, not only does Teen Titans Go have a lot more seasons and a lot more episodes than the original 2003 series, in fact, as I'm recording this, I think they're actually getting pretty close to getting 200 episodes right now. But also the fact that this really does solidify that they're actually going to get a movie released on the big screen. Something that the 2003 series can't even get with Trouble in Tokyo. That's just a little thing that's released only on television, just like a little event on Cartoon Network, and then released straight to DVD, and that's it. But Teen Titans Go, they actually got popular enough and really got successful enough to be put out on the big screen. And that's the only explanation. It's a big hit, despite all the hate that it's been getting. Like, and on top of that, even though it's been getting a lot of hate, it also got a lot of love, because there's a lot of people who do watch Teen Titans Go. A lot of people who enjoy Teen Titans Go, even. So much so that, you know, like, it already has a big fan base on social media, and people just having fun with it, and it introduces them to these characters in a more comical tone. And in fact, the hate on it has gone so blown out of proportions, it's gotten so ridiculous. Pan Pizza actually recently made this video in response to this Teen Titans Go movie being announced. Like, he made this entire rant completely slamming on the Teen Titans Go hate. Not on Teen Titans Go, not on the fact that there's going to be a movie, but just the ridiculous, pointless hate that it's been getting throughout the years, and how, at this point, it's pretty much worthless to give Teen Titans Go all this stupid hate. And trust me, Pan did not hold back. In fact, he did not hold back and let everything out. It is beautiful. This is the kind of rant that really does make it such a beautiful art. If you guys have not seen that video, please do so. It is absolutely amazing. And I gotta give major credit to Pan that, holy crap, man, you deserve a cookie, dude. But yeah, honestly, at this point now for me, now that I am hearing that there is going to be this Teen Titans Go movie, and that, yeah, in the future, I will have to review it. I mean, it's going to be released in theaters. For me, I feel like I might as well say, screw it! If I'm going in, then I will proudly dive into this. I am actually now legitimately excited to see this Teen Titans Go movie, no matter what. Like, I would gladly give Warner Brothers my money in order to get a ticket to see this Teen Titans Go movie. Regardless on what's going to happen. If it's good, great. But if it does end up being as bad as a lot of people say it is, then honestly, I want this to be spectacularly bad. I want this to be bad to the point of, like, Nine Lives or The Room or Trolls 2, where it's so bad that it becomes entertaining all over again. Like, that is one thing that I really do wish for. That if it sucks, then make it spectacularly suck where I can have a good time. And that's the one thing that I am hoping for. In fact, The thing is that since it is being released in July of 2018, I am pretty much certain that this is going to be a lot better than the other crappy animated film that's going to be released on July of 2018. Since I am more familiar with that property right over there, and I have seen the previous installments, I know that with that one right over there, it is definitely gonna suck. And considering that the company's reputation right now, it has gone so bad that we might as well say that its reputation is now dead at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if that movie right over there, it would abandon all its fans in the veins of like Shrek the Third, and like it would end up being so bad that they would need the Teen Titans Go movie as a palate cleanser. That I want to see, and that would be so hilarious if that could end up being the case. Oh my god. But with all that said though, I would like to send a little message to both the cast and crew who are currently working on this Teen Titans Go movie. And I want to tell you guys, please, if there's one thing that you got to do about this Teen Titans Go movie, I beg of you, do not hold back on anything. Go nuts with this thing. Whatever insane idea you would have, please do so. Apply to this right over here. Make it as insane and crazy as possible. You're working on an animated feature, for God's sakes. You're only limited to your imagination. So whatever idea that you would have that you might not normally do for the animated show, please do so right over here. Don't hold back. Go insane with this project and just have a lot of fun with it. And in fact, try to make sure you have a lot of fun, that no matter how good or bad it would be, that it could translate onto the big screen so that audiences could have a lot of fun with it, either in a good way or in an unintentional way. Please just do so. And honestly, with that thought right over there, I am crazy excited for this. Now I really do want this Teen Titans Go movie. I want this to come out as soon as possible. And yeah, honestly, no matter how it's going to be, like, I'm gonna put this on one of my most anticipated films. Like, it's gonna be so crazy, no matter how good or bad it is. And of course you're gonna see all the angry fanboys, they're just gonna blindly buy their ticket and watch this anyway so that they could have an excuse to go and complain some more. So, honestly, I don't care. Like, I'm gonna be in it for the ride, so why the fridge not have fun with it? And, by the way, if there is one more thing I would like to say about this Teen Titans Go movie, it's the fact that right over here, we are dealing with an animated film based on a DC property, which one of the stars is Robin. And the tone will be a lighthearted comedy in which it is not afraid to make fun of itself. And in that case, if it works for the Lego Batman movie, then it could probably work for Teen Titans Go as well. It could actually end up being pretty good. Who knows what's gonna happen? But if you guys are like me and you are super excited for the Teen Titans Go movie to be out in theaters for everyone to see, then all you have to do is just wait until July 27th, 2018 for the big release. Okay, so for our next story right over here, we're gonna be sticking around with Warner Brothers. But instead of feeling a lot of joy and anticipation, I'm going to be expressing a lot of worry for this, because honestly at this point, this was supposed to be a big animated franchise, but now we're seeing a lot of its weak points that its future might end up being a little bit questionable. Now, if you guys may recall, during last weekend, the Lego Ninjago movie was out in theaters. And so far, it ended up getting a lot of lukewarm reviews, and people are saying that it's either okay to mediocre. It's been getting a lot of that mixed reactions right over there, and it's not necessarily a good image for it. And what ended up happening was that at the weekend box office, it didn't necessarily do well because it only opened with a total of $20.4 million during the weekend. And there are three different explanations onto why this actually happened. Now, number one, as I stated before, it's because of the reviews. Now, with the previous LEGO movies, they have gotten, like, amazing reviews. Like, people have been praising the LEGO movie, and earlier this year, they have praised the LEGO Batman movie. But with the LEGO Ninjago movie, they've been getting the average reviews that an animated film, that a big-budget, major animation studio animated feature would get. Like, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's around the early 50s, and... You know, that's not necessarily a great image and not necessarily appealing for audiences to immediately go and check this one out in theaters. Now, reason number two is mainly because of heavy competition. The LEGO Ninjago movie did not necessarily come out at the best time because it was pretty much an all-out brawl between three different movies. The LEGO Ninjago movie, there's also It, which was already on its third weekend, and also, the one who ended up becoming the big winner at the box office last week, Kingsman: The Golden Circle. And reason number three, and this is something that I've discovered through the comments section on my reviews, is the fact that it's based on a property that not many people are really familiar with. This is LEGO Ninjagos. This already existed, and they already had a TV show, and of course, a huge lineup of LEGO sets. And not many people are really that familiar with it, not as much as either Batman or just plain LEGOs in general. So that kind of thing, they're not necessarily that... that's an aspect that people are not necessarily appealed to, and they're unsure about how to feel about it, even if this is more connected to the LEGO movie than it actually is based on already existing properties of the Ninjagos and stuff like that. So those are basically the three big reasons onto why the LEGO Ninjago movie did not necessarily work out. And considering that it did open with $20.4 million, this is a little bit worrisome about its future, to be honest. Because at this point, there seems to be a pretty strong chance now that the LEGO Ninjago movie might end up becoming a box office flop. Especially the fact that it does have an estimated budget of around $70 million. And let me tell you why, there is a chance that it could end up becoming a box office bomb. Because, you see, the thing is with the previous LEGO movies, like with the LEGO movie and the LEGO Batman movie, those are actually two of the extremely rare animated films in which the domestic box office is actually higher than how much they would make in the international box office, like outside of North America. Because normally, like, if you go to boxofficemojo.com and you randomly search an animated film, you would find that, commonly, an animated film would have a bit of the same ratio in terms of how much they make domestically and internationally. Like, usually it's around 30-70% or 40-60% on how much they would make. Like, the lower end would be domestic, and the higher end would be internationally. In fact, there are some animated films out there that they would actually make a lot of money just through the international box office in itself. Like, there are some, like, a lot of the Disney films, or the Despicable Me movies, or even some of the Ice Age sequels, you could completely remove the domestic box office, and they would still be giant hits. Like, they would still be highly successful and made more its money back, you know? But this is not the case with the LEGO movies. In fact, using my source here on Box Office Mojo, with the original LEGO movie, it made a worldwide total of almost $470 million, with $469 million to be precise. And domestically, it made more than half of that with about $258 million, while internationally, it only made about $211. And the same thing with the LEGO Batman movie. In total, it made about $312 million, but $176 million of it came from the domestic box office, while internationally, there's only $136 million of it. So with that said, when it comes to the future of the Lego Ninjago movie, considering the previous experiences with Warner Brothers animated films like Storks pretty much opened the same way, it ended up getting a box office total of, or a domestic box office total of about $80 million. So let's say this could be the similar case with the Lego Ninjago movie, that ultimately, in the end, it would end up with $80 million. Then at that point, at the box office, like, it could end up just getting a total of about, I would guess, $140 million, or, like, give or take $140 million. And at that area right over there, like, Warner Brothers will be losing money no matter what. Not just because it has a $70 million budget, but also because of expenses on the marketing and all that stuff. And you know they managed to spend a lot on that. So yeah, ultimately, this is a big sign that the Lego Ninjago movie is going to be a flop. So what it means right over here is that for Warner Brothers, they need to be a lot more careful when it comes to releasing these Lego movies. Because now at this point, it's not all the time that whenever they would release it, it's going to be a major hit. I mean, like, the first time and the second time, yeah, sure, like, it's pretty much amazing for them. But unless they end up becoming critical hits, like, they would get praise from all the film reviewers and all the critics out there, it's not going to end up going well. Like, if critics don't like it, then audiences are not going to care much about it. And even with me, like, I probably wouldn't have spent much of my money on the Lego movie, on the Lego Ninjago movie, because from what I've seen, all it's been doing is that it's just trying to copy the success of the Lego movie, like, pretty much taking all the elements on why is it that people love it so much and try to copy that instead of trying to be its own movie. I don't necessarily blame audiences for not being so turned on by it, and especially when the trailers and all that stuff, like, it did leave a lot of people questioning it. It's like, is it going to be a good movie? Is it not? It's just, you know, it's giving us such mixed feelings that we don't necessarily want to risk spending our money to go and check out the Lego Ninjago movie. So what's going to be happening right over here is that they need, you know, honestly, they got to be a little bit more careful with the way that Warner Brothers has to distribute these Lego movies. And on top of that, it really did hurt as well, the fact that we already got a Lego movie this year with the Lego Batman movie. So having Lego Ninjagos on top of that, it just feels a little bit too much, because we are already full with our fill with Batman. And it probably would have helped a little bit if they delayed the release date of the Lego Ninjago movie to sometime in early 2018. Like, sure, it wouldn't help with how the critics would react, but at least we would have one Lego movie a year, and that would be okay. Or, like, just one Lego movie at a time, instead of, like, mass-producing these Lego movies all together. And for me, I feel like this is going to be a little bit troublesome in terms of future Lego movies, if this is what we're going to end up with, like, similar in the veins of the Lego Ninjago movie. And so far, there are only two upcoming Lego movies. There is, of course, the Lego Movie 2, and then there's also another spin-off film, which is The Billion Brick Race, with Jorge Gutierrez working on the project as well. And I'm worried both creatively and also financially for them. Now, granted, with the Lego Movie 2, there is a much stronger chance that it will financially go well, considering that it is one of the most anticipated animated sequels so far, right next to How to Train Your Dragon 3 and The Incredibles 2. But with all the others, though, one thing that I am worried creatively is if those two movies end up similar to the Lego Ninjago movie, that all they're going to do is just try to emulate the success of the Lego movie, try to be like that, but they can't achieve it. And honestly, if that's going to be the case, then these Lego movies, they're pretty much going to be dead on the water. And I'll say right now, like, one thing that will really make the Lego Movie franchise dead is if the Lego Movie 2 end up getting the similar reviews to the Lego Ninjago movie. Not bad reviews, but just lukewarm reviews that people would just look at it and go like, eh. Then at that point, people are immediately going to be turned off by the Lego Movie franchise, and they're just going to move on with their lives, like not really caring much about whatever Warner Brothers is distributing with all the Lego projects. And honestly, I really do hope for the best for these future Lego movies, that they do focus on trying to be their own thing instead of trying to copy the success of the Lego movie. Because in a way, you could say that the Lego movies, they got a little bit of the Pixar curse, in the sense that if they don't get amazing reviews, if they don't get like a Rotten Tomato score of over 90%, then audiences are not going to give a crap about it whatsoever. So who knows what the future is going to hold with the Lego movie, but if it's something a little similar to the Lego Ninjago movie, then honestly, we should be a little bit worried for it. Then honestly, it might not be good, because now this franchise is really showing a lot of its weakness. So who knows how it's going to go, but yeah, the Lego Ninjago movie is officially a dud, and we'll see what happens with the others. Okay, so for our next story right over here, we're going to be taking a break from Warner Brothers and head on down to the Disney parks, because apparently there seems to be this one idea that it was supposed to happen as a movie, but now it seems to be scrapped. And it does seem like an interesting idea, but for now, it is what it is. It's just an idea. And apparently, it all started with this new video from Screen Junkies, where they decided to bring in writer Max Landis and talk a little bit about a scrapped idea that he had for a movie based on the Disney ride Space Mountain. And apparently, he described a little bit about what would be in the Space Mountain movie. And his plan was to go and make this a major retro futuristic movie that they would go and use like classic lasers and rockets and all that kind of stuff. In fact, let me read you from my source here on Slash Film, taking a quote from Max Landis saying that my Space Mountain movie was cool. It was a 50s retro future movie. They had rocket ships and ray guns, but no cell phones and the internet. So that would be the setting right over there. But you might be wondering, what about the plot? Is there a story attached to it? Well, actually, he did. And he said that another cool thing was that the idea that when you come back from light speed, you're 9.5 grams lighter, but you seem normal. Then slowly over the course of a day, it turns out that the human soul can't travel at light speed. So a whole ship would come back with people with no souls, would seem normal, but then turn into horrible monsters. No wonder this movie didn't get made. So on top of that, also, on Twitter, he would then go and reveal some concept art for this Space Mountain movie, where he showed all the different ships that would be featured in there. And yeah, they had a bit of that retro looking style. So in a way, think about a setting that would be similar to the Jetsons, how they would perceive the future, and it would be a little bit like that. So you might be wondering, why is it that it did not work? Well, the thing is that the entire thing got shelved mainly due to timing. The thing is that Max Landis handed Disney this script in 2012, and they seemed pretty eager at first, but the thing is that at the end of that year, there was a big landmark moment that would change the company forever. And that was when Bob Iger decided to purchase Lucasfilms. And whatever futuristic sci-fi project they would have, they would scrap it all in order to make room for the Star Wars trilogy that we have right now with The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and also the upcoming Episode 9. So pretty much the focus went on to there and decided to get rid of Space Mountain. On top of other sci-fi projects that they want to try out, well, let's just say it didn't necessarily work out and they became some of Disney's biggest bombs, including Mars Needs Moms and also John Carter. So that could pretty much explain it. Now, it is actually pretty interesting to see this kind of movie. Like, conceptually, it does seem like a pretty cool idea, creating this retro Jetson style future and making an action movie based on that, because that pretty much embodies not just Space Mountain, but what Tomorrowland in general represents. It's pretty much this retro future. I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but that's what it is. What the 50s and 60s would perceive as the future, like what 2010 would be right, or like the 2010s would be right now. And you know, it does seem like a pretty cool idea, but admittedly, this plot, when you get down to it, yeah, I don't know, that seems a little bit ridiculous. When you would go into the, like, okay, I get using the light speed concept, considering that is a major theme in Space Mountain, but later on, turning them into zombies and stuff like that, I don't know, now you're getting into some scientific crap that you don't even know about. So, I don't know, the plot would need a lot of work, but just the idea of this type of Space Mountain movie, that would actually seem pretty cool. But I will say, though, there are two things about it, other than the story, that I totally see why Disney wouldn't want to go and make it. Or at least, like, in terms of right now, why Disney wouldn't go with a Space Mountain movie. Now, reason number one is because of Max Landis. The fact that he's the guy behind it. And the thing with Max Landis is that he's a rather strange individual. And that's putting it quite lightly, you know, quite generously. In fact, you know, on social media and all that kind of stuff, he's known for many things, but somehow being a writer for big name movies and big name TV shows, that's not on top of the list. That's not reason number one why he's popular. So yeah, considering that he does make himself quite a controversial figure, I don't know if it's something that Disney themselves would want to associate with. And for reason number two, it's mainly because we kind of got that movie and it really didn't work out. Now, I've already mentioned before about John Carter and Mars Needs Moms. But what I'm referring to specifically is the 2015 Brad Bird movie, Tomorrowland. Now, personally for me, I genuinely enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty good film. Now, I know that it got a lot of crap, but honestly, in terms of the criticism, I do get why. It's not really a perfect movie. It doesn't necessarily have the best plot, and also the message, it really is quite annoying how it really is trying to hammer it down, and it feels like Brad Bird is just yelling through the microphone about what this message is. It does get annoying. I do understand the criticisms of it. And yeah, I guess at this point, it's pretty much unanimous to go and say that Tomorrowland is Brad Bird's weakest film. But what I'm trying to get at with it is that, you know, with Tomorrowland, they already went into the retro future stuff. We've already seen a lot of that. Yeah, and plus the fact that Space Mountain itself actually did make a cameo in the movie. Like, you would actually see several shots where you do find Space Mountain. And in that case, you know, honestly, I don't think Disney would go back to make another Tomorrowland type of movie, because they literally did a Tomorrowland movie and it didn't work out well for them, especially financially. Oh boy. Like, that could, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Tomorrowland itself would be enough of a reason for Disney not doing a Space Mountain movie. But yeah, overall, it does sound like a pretty interesting idea, but we have to leave it at that. It's just an idea. We have to pretty much put it on the list of plenty of the other movies that, you know, it sounds like an interesting idea to turn a Disney ride into a movie, but it ultimately didn't work out. We got to put it on the side like the It's a Small World movie of the 70s, or all the different ideas of The Jungle Cruise, or Guillermo del Toro's Haunted Mansion movie. That, we have to pretty much put that in the corner right over there. So overall, a Space Mountain movie does sound pretty interesting, but in this case, there might need to be some things that they got to fix up if they actually want to go and make that happen. Now for our next story, man, I really do feel mixed about it. Because on one hand, I can see where it can be quite successful. It has the right people for it. But then again, I don't know if this is a good idea in general. Because here's the thing. Paramount Pictures and Bad Robot decided to work together with Toho in order to create a live-action remake of Your Name. You guys may recall last year, Your Name, the Japanese animated feature that pretty much exploded in Japan. So much so that it actually beat Spirited Away's 15-year record to ultimately become the highest grossing Japanese film of all time. And for 16 weeks in a row, you'll always find Your Name on top of the Japanese box office. Not necessarily at number one, but it's always going to be up there. And in terms of the people that they did get in there, they actually do have J.J. Abrams to be one of the producers in there next to Lindsay Weber, considering that it is from Bad Robot. And the writer that they have working on this is actually Eric Heiserer, who previously worked on Arrival. And on top of that, one of the previous producers of the original animated film, Genki Karamura, is going to be producing this film as well. Now, you might be wondering, what about the thoughts of the original creator of Your Name? Like, the creator of the original story, the writer, and the director of the movie, of the animated film, Makoto Shinkai. He actually stated that, using my source here through Deadline, stated that he said his film was created with the innate imaginations of a Japanese team and put together in a domestic medium. When such a work is imbued with Hollywood filmmaking, we may see new possibilities that we have been completely unaware of. I am looking forward to the live-action film with excited anticipation. And by the way, if you guys are curious about what Your Name is, if you're not necessarily familiar with it, let me just read a little summary that that Deadline actually wrote up here. Your Name, which was a lower-budgeted anime phenomenon from filmmaker Makoto Shinkai, tells the story of a teenage boy and girl from different backgrounds who discover they can swap bodies. They become desperate to cross space and time to find a way to meet and stop an impending disaster. So that's pretty much the whole idea, is that now Paramount wants to go and make a movie based on Your Name, which is going to be live action. Now, let me just get some of the positives out of the way. So just to say that there could be a chance that it would actually be good. Now, the thing is that they did get the right people onto it. You got the original creators that are going to be helping out creating this movie. You got J.J. Abrams as one of the producers. And you also got Eric Heiserer to go and write on the script. And this guy, he recently got nominated for an Oscar for his work on Arrival. So there could be a chance that they would treat this project with respect, and it might actually turn out pretty well. But honestly, my biggest problem with all this is the fact that it's way too freaking soon to do this. Seriously, we're talking about Your Name, a movie that just got released last year. This is like if somehow a company decided they want to go and make a live-action remake of Kubo and the Two Strings. It's honestly a little too soon to do that. The movie did not have time to really place itself, to really fabricate its own legacy. I mean, yeah, sure, right now it is the highest grossing Japanese film of all time as I'm recording this, but the problem with it is that, it doesn't have time to really see a long-term legacy with it. We don't know if people will be remembering your name for a long time. You know, it's a little bit similar to, Avatar, in a sense. Yes, it is the highest grossing film of all time right now, but if you ask people how that movie is in general, a lot of people will just say that it's just, you know? That, nobody's really going to say that it is one of the greatest movies of all time, right up there with The Godfather and Citizen Kane and Shawshank Redemption and all that kind of stuff. You know, they're just gonna say that it's eh. And maybe, in the long run, people could do the same thing with your name. Like, they're not necessarily going to care about it as much as many of the other Studio Ghibli films, or it might not have a legacy similar to some of the other Japanese animated features. You know, you might not see your name be up there next to stuff like Akira or Ghost in the Shell or any of the other Studio Ghibli films, you know? We just don't know. It has yet to take time to have an entire legacy to know if it would actually be worth it to go and create a live-action remake in the first place. Honestly, give it a freaking decade at least to see if that would actually be a good idea and if people are still going to remember your name, 10 years later. But there is another reason why this does seem like a pretty bad idea. And it's actually the fact that out of all the freaking companies out there, it has to be Paramount working on a Your Name remake. And that right there, when I saw that news, I just went ooh, good God. I mean, even Sony Pictures is looking at him going, what the fridge were you thinking? Because the thing is with Paramount, they are the last company to be trusted with making live-action remakes based on Japanese animated features. This year alone, it pretty much showed that it really didn't go well with the Ghost in the Shell live-action remake. It became a major disaster, and it really stabbed a bit of the reputation of Scarlett Johansson. Her career did get hurt a bit by she did get hurt a bit from Ghost in the Shell. So them doing this again, it is not a good idea whatsoever. I don't know why Paramount would want to do this a second time, especially the fact that they lost so much money out of Ghost in the Shell. You know, it's just, I don't know. This is going to be a fact that really is going to be hurting them. Because people will be remembering Ghost in the Shell by the time when Your Name is going to be released. So honestly, overall, I'm just very torn with this news. On one hand, they got some good people working on it, but it's just the scenario of it. It's way too soon. They got the wrong company working on this. It's just, I really don't know. They didn't set up a release date on it just yet, but I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But the only thing I could say to Paramount right there, you know, maybe it could turn out a hit, but if not, you'll be sorry. And so, finally, we are now going to end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. And considering that there hasn't been a lot of animation news that happened, I want to go with probably the biggest movie news story that did happen this week. And it did actually get a lot of people talking. And honestly, I do feel like this would actually be a pretty interesting discussion to get down into. And plus the fact that this is a movie in which there's so much CGI that people could even debate if this is either an animated film or not. And what I'm talking about is, of course, With Avatar. And this week, 20th Century Fox and James Cameron made it official. The production on the sequels has finally begun. Yes, after 8 years after the original got released, they finally got things working onto the sequels. And yes, the big thing is that James Cameron is actually going to be working on all four sequels in a row. He's not going to be making a little movie in between. He's going to be putting his entire focus onto Avatar. But reading my source here, once again, coming from Deadline, it's stated right over here. James Cameron officially began production today in Manhattan Beach on the four Avatar sequels he is shooting in succession. No one is saying when Cameron will complete the unprecedented feat of shooting a quartet of blockbuster budget 3D films in sequence. Continuing on, it also said that it is not only unprecedented in number, it also will be the most expensive shoot of its kind, at an estimated collective budget expected to surpass $1 billion. So yeah, making all four of these Avatar movies in a row is going to cost Fox more than $1 billion. So a little over $250 million each, which even for a big budget movie, that's a buttload of cash to go and spend on it. And what really does make it quite interesting with this announcement right over here is that people are making the big debate about, is it too late to go and make a sequel to Avatar? Because the big thing about it is that the first sequel to Avatar, like Avatar 2, is going to be released at the end of 2020, which is going to be 11 years after the original. And I do understand why people might be a little bit worried about that, because 11 years is a really awkward time to go and release a sequel immediately. Because here's the thing, with 11 years, it's way too early to go and capitalize on the nostalgia of Avatar. Like, the movie is not going to be old enough to be considered something that people will remember back in the veins of like what people are doing with all the 80s and 90s projects. And 11 years, it's way too late to capitalize on the success of Avatar. Yes, it is the big, yeah, sure, it's the most successful movie of all time as I'm recording it. But the thing is that, like, after 11 years, people are gonna quickly forget about Avatar. Like, honestly, for me, I feel like the best time to actually release a sequel to Avatar, considering the time that it would make, would be 2014. Like, if they got to work on that, they would be able to easily capitalize on the success of it. And even at that, it's just, you know, like I stated before, Avatar is not necessarily seen as one of the best movies ever. Sure, it's one of the best movies financially, but in a creative standpoint, it really did get a lot of mixed results. Sure, it looks phenomenal, but story-wise, it leaves nothing much to the imagination. I mean, this is just the bland Pocahontas dances with wolves kind of story that we've got over and over again. It's not really that great. And honestly, now that they are making a sequel, is it really going to be that much that people are really going to be going crazy over it all over again? Like, honestly, I really don't see the sequels reaching up to the same success of, like, the original Avatar, let alone trying to get over $2 billion. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the first Avatar would get more than $1 billion, but then afterwards, it's just, I could see it, like, decreasingly if written-wise, it's not phenomenal. If people are not praising the crap out of it, saying that, oh my god, the anime, you know, oh my god, the story is more compelling. This is one of the best movies in years. It's way better than the first. It's just, it's really hard to see if they can really get that craze going all over again. Now, don't get me wrong, though. I know that in between the first and the second movie, there have been some stuff released in between to give you a little bit of an appetizer of Avatar. Cirque du Soleil actually did release a show called Toruk, which is based on the world of Avatar. It's not a show where they would retell the story of the movie and make it an entire Cirque du Soleil show. No. This is like a completely original story that's actually set in the world of Avatar. And on top of that, also, if you go to Walt Disney World at Animal Kingdom, there's that entire section that is completely devoted to Avatar called Pandora. And in there, you can actually go and enter upon several rides. Well, if you can, if the lineups are not that huge. I mean, even at this point, the lineups are so big that you can go in and get a fast pass at 8 a.m. in order to enter into the ride, and your ticket will say that you can go in at 8 p.m. It's really that crazy and really that popular at Disney World. But is it going to be that popular when the movies are going to be coming out? I don't know. And especially the fact that $1 billion on all four movies in a row, you know, like, honestly, it is a major risk that Fox is doing, and especially on James Cameron's part as well, because that really is a lot of money spent, like I said before. Now, if it's going to be really successful, that just remains to be seen. I mean, technically, already with the first movie alone, they managed to make all its money back from all five movies in a row already. But if the sequels can emulate a little bit of that success, like even if the movies don't even, like even if these Avatar sequels don't even make half as much as the original Avatar, it will still be a big hit. But it's just overall, I don't think a lot of people feel completely ready to enter back into the Avatar craze after a little over than a decade. And this thing is going to span for quite a while. Like, it's going to start in 2020, and then the last Avatar movie is going to be out in 2025. So rather, if people are going to be completely prepared for, like, all the Avatar movies coming out, that just be, like, honestly, it'll be remain to be seen. So who knows how that's going to go, but if you guys are excited to go and check out the first Avatar sequel, that's going to be coming out on December 18th, 2020. And that will be all that I got for this week, so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also go ahead and find me on Twitter at animat505. Now, if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little bit of a favor and rate and review this episode? That would be very lovely of you. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us a comment on your thoughts about the news this week. Now, tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next week, see you later, dudes.